Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Today our conversation will once again focus in on the emerging markets as we will spend some time spotlighting the recent monthly piece from the CIO Emerging Markets team, Emerging Markets Performance Meets Diversification. This publication, by the way, is now available up on ubs.com/CIO. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back one of the publication's contributors, Alejo Zarwanco, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Alejo, great to have you on the podcast as always. Thank you for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners, our clients, and very much looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. It's always great to be here.
So, Alejo, to get started, we are coming off of the recent September FOMC meeting. We did see that the central bank cut rates by 25 basis points, opening the door for a rate-cutting cycle. So why is the Fed's current rate-cutting cycle so important for emerging market investors?
Let me take a step back, Dan, and share, as you know, that I teach a course on investing in emerging markets at Columbia. It's a grad school level course. And during the semester, we spend quite a bit of time trying to better align, at least historically, the different forces that help drive capital flows into emerging markets and out of emerging markets. And we review two theories. By and large, you have liquidity theory, which argues that it is global liquidity cycles, often set in motion by monetary policy decisions in the developed markets, that are the primary driver of capital flows into developing economies. And then you have a competing theory, the investment theory, which argues that emerging markets can do a lot themselves to attract capital through sound economic policy, sound strategic planning, right? And so we go on and explore several case studies, and we conclude that while both frameworks have some merit, it is really the liquidity theory that does a better job at explaining at least historical patterns of capital flows and, of course, investment returns across emerging markets. Now, bringing it all to today, Dan, the world's most influential central bank has resumed its rate-cutting cycle last week, 17 September, and it appears like the Fed is prioritizing the labor market size of the mandate over the inflation side of the mandate. And as you know, Dan, CIO, our team, is penciling in an additional 75 basis points of cuts between now and the first quarter of 2026. For emerging markets, this is pretty good news. Historically, Fed easing in a non-recessionary environment has supported risk assets and, in particular, emerging market assets. We think that despite the softer labor market data, we still don't have a U.S. or global recession in the horizon. And if you think about the fact that the Fed is cutting rates faster than other regions, you're reminded of the large volume of unhedged overseas investments in the U.S., of the fact that the U.S. maintains persistent twin deficits. We also see the path of least resistance for the U.S. dollar lower for now, right? And so all in, Dan, this is music to emerging market ears. History shows that both emerging market equities, emerging market fixed income have performed well again as the Fed cuts, especially outside of recessions.
So with that in mind, Alejo, if we focus on positioning, where do you see the most compelling opportunities in emerging market equities at the moment?
Absolutely, Dan. As you know, U.S. stocks, in our view, should continue to trend higher if you think 12, 18 months out. Now, we have to take note of somewhat stretched valuations. The 4P for the S&P 500 is 22.5 times. This is the 99th percentile of valuations over the past 20 years. So if you consider this reality, our team is constantly reminding folks that it is key to diversify geographically. And here's where emerging markets do stand out. The asset class on the equity side continues to have fair to somewhat attractive valuations in our analysis. Earnings growth is pretty solid, 10% for this year, 10% expected for next year. And so we think this should, you know, continue to support decent absolute returns within emerging market equities. More specifically, within the asset class, then, we favor China technology companies. We think Indian earnings growth is pretty compelling. We find very attractive valuations out of Brazil, specific opportunities in Indonesia, the Philippines, among others. So there's a range of ways to express this view. First order of business, then, diversify geographically, considering our views on the dollar, considering our views on the fact that U.S. stock valuations are certainly not cheap.
Okay, so that covers equities. What about in emerging market fixed income and even currencies?
What's going on in global fixed income markets is fascinating, Dan, because we have a tension in a way between spread levels that are tight just about everywhere. U.S. investment grade bonds are trading at spreads that are almost 30-year lows. U.S. high yield with spreads at almost 25-year lows. And emerging markets is no exception. The spread over U.S. treasuries that emerging market bonds offer is not super generous. But at the same time, fixed income segments globally offer pretty interesting all-in yields. The level of yields is appealing compared to recent history. And so in the realm of emerging markets, you can, without overexposing yourself to credit risk, collect a 7% yield level in U.S. dollars. So we think emerging markets can play a great role in building global fixed income portfolios, in beefing up that yield level of the overall portfolio. And that's primarily in the dollar-denominated space. But we also see scope for a range of emerging market currencies, Dan, to remain resilient and offer appealing carry in the months ahead. Think Mexican peso, Brazilian real, Indian rupee, among others.
Okay, so quite a few considerations there when it comes to positioning, having covered equities, fixed income, currencies. Of course, with all forms of investing comes risk. So for emerging market investors, what are some key risk considerations to be mindful of?
We talked a lot about the Fed and continued easing of monetary policy. What if inflation in the U.S. surprises to the upside and the thesis of lower U.S. policy rates doesn't apply anymore, right? So that would be a key risk factor. The other is, what if the economy is rolling over and we are going into a softer patch for economic activity in the U.S. and worldwide with all the policy uncertainty, the geopolitical uncertainty that we're living through? That would be another key source of concern. Again, our baseline is relatively constructive that this monetary easing in the U.S. should be supportive of EM, but if that monetary easing doesn't materialize, or if the easing is taking place because the economy is doing a lot worse than expected, this would not be an environment that's conducive of good risk asset performance.
Well, Alejo, great catching up with you as always. Thank you for dropping by and for keeping our listeners, our clients, current on the thinking from the UBS Chief Investment Office when it comes to emerging markets.
It was great to chat, Ben. Until next time.
Thank you, Alejo. Again, today we have been joined by Alejo Zerwanko, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. And again, a reminder that the publication which we have been making reference to on today's episode, Emerging Markets, Performance Meets Diversification, is now available for you up on UBS.com/CIO. Though for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the publication directly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.